man whose mind is divided between good and evil and brings you into the law of love, the law of oneness. And then the same force that maintains the universe invisibly also maintains you under the law of grace. Now that is why love pops up in this Bible everywhere you go. To love the Lord thy God means to love the Father within you, to love the force which creates and maintains its spiritual universe. Now another synonym for God is Spirit. The Father within and the Spirit. Now the Spirit is the Father within. Now when you're confronted with a material condition, your obedience to this commandment is, I cannot accept and honor the material condition that faces me because that is outside. God is the Father within. And therefore, to obey the commandment, I must honor the Father within and not the condition without. You see how this commandment turns you from the appearances of evil in this world? Where does evil happen? It happens outside of your being. It seems to come into you. Sometimes it enters your body. But it comes from the without. And you're being turned to the Father within because only when you have located the Father within do you control the circumstance without. Whatever it is out there, if you have touched divine love in your being, that which is out there is now a non-power. It's a leper that you can touch. It's only a stimulus. But there's nothing in you to respond to the stimulus. Because love in you will respond to that stimulus not the way a preconditioned mind responds. And so always, when you see the word love, it's telling you this is the way. Now love happens to be your name. You are created by the love of God, of the love of God, and that is the substance of your being. And the important thing about being told to love the Lord thy God is this. It is the indictment of the human race. It is telling us that we should love the Lord thy God because that's what we're not doing. If we were doing it, we wouldn't be told to do it. And you see, not honoring the Father within, not knowing the meaning of divine love, is the cause of the evils of the earth. It is our violation through ignorance of the law of divine love that causes what appears to us as the punishment. And so the church mistakenly teaches that God is punishing us. God permits our political leaders to be assassinated and our religious leaders as punishment. And that fatal error is one of the momentous blunders ever created through the theological mind. God doesn't punish anything. Love is the substance of God's universe. And when you act out of character, you punish yourself. Now you must learn the facets of love. The subtleties of love. Oh, you know all about the things about kindness and generosity and unselfishness. Don't you see how when you begin to take love and to make it part of your being, how the windows of your soul begin to open? When you are in a state of love, you are neutralizing the false human mind. Here comes an evil. It's an earthquake. In a state of love, honoring the Father within, you are saying God is power. What's this earthquake out there? Well, it can't be power if God is power. Any more than your eyes could be blue if they're green. If God is power in God's universe, what's the earthquake? When you're honoring the Father within as the power, you're stating that the earthquake has no power. Now, when you have accepted divine love, you know that divine love does not assassinate its children. Divine love doesn't send its children to hospitals. Divine love doesn't send earthquakes. Divine love doesn't send disease and infection and germs. Divine love doesn't make accidents. And divine love doesn't close its eye when this appears and pretend it isn't noticing. You don't have to invent a cause for evil, and you don't have to pretend that God sees the evil and it causes and sends it here for punishment. You don't have to do any such foolishness. You have to honor the Father within. Divine love is the Father within, and divine love tells you that divine love, which has created your being, maintains that being just as it maintains the planets and turns the tides and sends the sun out to give you warmth and heat. Divine love does that, and divine love would not permit an earthquake. Divine love would not permit a germ. Divine love would not permit an infection. Divine love would not permit an assassination. What does that tell you? It tells you they cannot be real. Because if divine love cannot permit them, where are they? You're seeing the depth of the hypnosis of the human mind. And the reason you can't notice it is because your neighbor is just as hypnotized as you. And his neighbor is just as hypnotized as he. We have all come from the womb of hypnosis. And that is the point. When the woman who was hypnotized was brought out of hypnosis and started to do this rumba dance, she noticed nobody else was hearing music and she stopped. When she was in the trance, she didn't notice it. Now, you and I, when we see disease, if nobody else reacted, we would stop and say, "What's wrong with me?" But everybody is hypnotized. Everybody's doing that dance. And so we look around and everybody's doing the same hypnotic dance, and we don't know we're hypnotized. But if you honor the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, how can your mind be honoring an earthquake or a disease if it's honoring God? You're honoring that which isn't and dishonoring that which is. Why? You don't want to. But your mind is conditioned. You can't control it. If this room rumbled, we'd all run somewhere, wouldn't we? We'd all try to hide. Except the one who will say, "No, it says honor God. I won't honor this earthquake. Let it rumble. God is right where I stand. The place whereon I stand is holy ground." Now, do you see how difficult it is to break the conditioning, and how the only way you will is to take a whip and literally flog yourself into it? Do you see why Jesus went through that temple with a whip? Let's not say he was tempted. He resisted evil. He didn't. He was showing that the human mind has such a hypnotic grip upon us that unless we take a whip and go through that temple and swing that whip at these hypnotic impulses, we will not cleanse the temple. We will not erase the conditioning. Now, you know that if anyone tells you tomorrow that you've got cancer, you're just going to fear and tremble to death. But are you honoring God? If this has been planted in you, if you are practicing it, to love the Lord thy God, the Father within you, right where you are, with all your heart, mind, and soul, what has the threat of cancer got to do with you? Absolutely nothing. It's a temptation, and you will respond to it because you can do nothing about it. The behavior patterns are already established in your consciousness. But when you open to love, love will open you in such a way that slowly through that love you are released from the false activity of the human consciousness. Slowly, love takes over, the human consciousness is submerged, and now, through love, comes truth which says, where is there evil? Did your father create evil? Is there another creator beside God? No. And if there is no other creator, who made evil? Nobody. If your father, God, created this universe, and did not create evil, where is it? It isn't. It's the burning feet of a boy conditioned by a flickering cigarette lighter to think his feet are burning. There's no evil there. There's suggestion accepted. Suggestion accepted until it crystallizes into belief, and then the belief is thought to be evil. Now let's not see any cancers in this world. Let's be true to the Father within. There are no such things. Let's forget these evils. Let's remember how they came about. Evil came about because each person in this world was born of a consciousness that was not virgin. That's the only reason there's evil. If you go back far enough, you see they lived about 965 years in those times. And you think it's false? Well, it isn't. They did live that many years. Slowly the consciousness became permeated further and further and further and further until the lifespan dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. We're just making the circle back. They lived those many years in those times. Now, if we can raise it 3 points from 70 to 70.3, why, we think we're doing a great thing. But as we leaven our consciousness, as we honor the Father within, the Spirit, we cannot honor the material world. Now, as you're learning to honor the Spirit behind the appearance of matter, you begin to see what John was talking about. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Now, what's that light shining in the darkness? When you look out on this world, why don't you see God's perfect creation? Because you're preconditioned. You can't see it. You never get a crack at it. All you can see is what you think is there. You're looking at your thought. That's the only thing you can see. What you think is there is your thought about what is there. And so you look at your thought. And if your thought sees evil, you see evil. And therefore you react not to evil, you react to your thought. Your reaction to your thought constitutes your hypnosis. But you don't see the light that is there. The light that is there is the light of God. That's all that is there. But our preconditioning won't enable us to see it until the light of love opens us up. Now, there's only one power, and that is part of the meaning of honor the Lord thy God. There's no power in negatives. There's no power in the powers of this world. But don't you see, in spite of your knowing it intellectually, your conditioning will keep responding. And so you've got to take that whip. You've got to work at the opening of the windows of your soul so that you can start to look at every one and begin to feel that behind the visible material is the light of God. And this is the beginning of loving thy neighbor as thyself. Not a cup of flour, that's not enough. Loving thy neighbor as thyself is the recognition that your neighbor is the Christ of God. That your neighbor, within him is the Father too. And you must respond to the Father within your neighbor just as you respond to the Father within you. You must not react to the appearance there, but you're sowing to the invisible of that neighbor. Now, you've never seen God. Everywhere you look, you don't see God. And so if you're going to honor God, you're going to honor something you haven't seen. Now, if you're going to honor that which you haven't seen, you're honoring the invisible. And you can't honor it and also honor this visible world. Now, do you see the totality of what is expected of you if you're going to uncondition yourself? You're being turned to the invisible, to honor the within, to honor the power of the invisible which maintains its universe, and to know that it does not permit evil, and that evil which it does not permit cannot be there. It is merely your conditioned response which is the evil. It is your thought which is the evil, not evil there, but your reaction to a stimulus is the evil. You're seeing that the evil comes back and it is you. Your thought about what is there, that's the evil. And your thought is false because it's preconditioned thought. You see the depth of the problem. Now, try to do this and see that right where you are right now is an invisible explosion. Right there, the world is throwing images at you. And all you have is five senses to meet these images. And that's the explosion. Every minute. All around you. There is an atomic explosion everywhere that you stand. Your five senses meeting the incoming light. Your fingertips touching the incoming light. This is the explosion. And you are responding to that explosion, and that is your human life. Now lift that veil. Get behind that explosion. Find this great within, and you stand behind the explosion of the human race, the human earth, the human mind, the preconditioning which was set up when you were born. And as you stand behind that, behind the sensations of your five senses, you discover an oasis. Jesus called it the Sabbath. He rested on the Sabbath and healed. His Sabbath was a Sabbath from these five senses. And as you stand behind those five senses, finding that Sabbath, that oasis, in that moment of silence, you break the conditioning. You break the pre-arranged response to stimuli of this world. Evil comes up to you, but you're behind the veil, breaking the silence, resting in the awareness of one power, God, love, divine love. And now you can look at the evil, and it cannot come through your senses into this silence. You have broken the circuit of preconditioned response. You can touch the leper. You can look at this virus that is attacking, and it cannot enter thy dwelling. It cannot enter your purified consciousness. And as you continue to build this inner oasis, you find that none of the conditioning already prefabricated in you has any effect. It's been nullified. You're loving God supremely, and you're loving your neighbor and the Father within your neighbor supremely. And this has opened the windows of your soul. Truth is dehypnotizing you. You don't respond to the things you did before. You shall know the truth which opens to you through love, and it makes you free from what? It makes you free from the human experience and lifts you into the divine experience. You have a virgin consciousness, and your consciousness outpictures a virgin divine universe which is free of error, and you walk under that grace. Now this is your rebirth, and now as you begin to learn it and show it, you'll find it will wear off on others, and someday the moment will come when every mother will be in that position that she is divine love itself functioning without preconditioning, and the child will be born without preconditioning. And you will see within the next 100 years why there will be no disease on earth. You cannot stop the truth once it's liberated into consciousness. Disease must move off this earth. And it isn't going to be removed from earth. It's going to be revealed that it never was here. It never was here. We are all very important for that reason. Those of us who catch this truth and can show it and can dedicate ourselves to freeing ourselves are going to free many others. Now, I have opportunity every day to see things of this nature. Just the other day, in talking to a certain individual who had a certain problem, I explained some of this, and I hadn't the slightest idea about his antecedents. And he said, you know, it's a funny thing you mentioned that. He said, I happen to come from a family of doctors, and this condition that I have, I know my mother didn't know anything at all about this condition, didn't understand it or anything, but she did have access to doctors in the family, and they certainly knew about this condition, and it must have come through her consciousness that way. And you see, that is the truth, and the truth is even deeper than that. Whether his family had been doctors or not, world belief contains the belief in such a condition as he has. And so it can come through his mother, whether it's in his family or not. Now, do you see then that love releases you from world belief? Now, love then must be seen as to be a power which has no opposite. It is the only power. Love cannot be considered to be part of your being until you have been able to look at this world of mankind and to see what Jesus meant when he says you must love your enemy. You must love those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Now you say, oh, I'm not going to do that. Well, that's fine. It's being pointed out to you that unless you do that, you will continue to function in the belief that evil is real. And you will continue to make yourself vulnerable to the evils of this world. You must accept God straight across the boards as the infinite self of the universe, not just for your family and for you and for your nation. God's terms must be accepted on God's terms. And as presented through Jesus, they are, you must love your enemy. And that doesn't mean to pray for your enemy to defeat you. It means to see that your enemy is also hypnotized, conditioned at birth, and that the truth of your enemy is the invisible love of God standing there. Hypnotized is he to know not that he is love, but to think that he is hate or vengeance. You must see through his hypnosis in order to see through your own. So we're told to love our enemies. And we are told to see the invisible presence of God in every being, because you cannot break the hypnosis for yourself as long as you accept anyone else in their hypnotized state. You must break the hypnosis throughout the infinite. In one fell swoop, you must see that there is no evil, there is no enemy, there is no hate, there is no vengeance. These are hypnotized beliefs, appearances, and I will honor only the invisible love of God that exists throughout the universe, and I need no defense against these evils, because I need not defend against non-existence. Now, this is how you break your hypnosis. You're beginning to see, then, the totality of your problem. And that was the important part of today's meeting, to establish the totality of the human problem, that it goes deeper than goodness. It goes deeper than desire to be good. It goes deeper than an intellectual understanding of a good God. It goes into the very marrow of your pre-birth. And that all must be undone by love, by truth, and finally by the acceptance of yourself as love itself. I am that substance which is love, spirit. And every time I'm not acting as love, spirit, I am violating my own being. And this constitutes hypnosis. Now, this is too large a subject, apparently, to cover in an hour or two. But when love becomes a conscious attitude, you find yourself stopping these petty condemnations that we all come into. You find yourself stopping these belittlings, these looking down at the other fellow, and you see you're only bringing yourself down. You're responding on a level that isn't your true self. But when you go the other way, you feel this purity surging through you. You feel how a virgin consciousness is possible, and how you can get up at that dimension where you can stand in this pure consciousness knowing that everything out there that isn't love is untrue, because God is love and God is everywhere. Then you're not taking God as love as just a cliche. It's a practical way of life. Only love is out there, and that means there's no evil to hurt me, no earthquakes, no wars, no assassinations. What happens? That's your bread on the water. It's got to come back as love. Do you think that those who were assassinated, if they had done this, would have been assassinated? No, just the disobedience to that commandment. Do you think that 30 million Americans would be in hospitals if the church had taught them the truth? No. And our own children, do you think they would suffer these diseases that God didn't put on earth, unless we, in our ignorance, hadn't preconditioned them to believe there were diseases? We didn't sit there and say, now look, sonny, there are diseases. No, it was more subtle. We preconditioned an embryo before the mind even appeared, and we did it ignorantly because we were not of a pure consciousness. We believed there were evils. And this collective subconscious, or this world belief, worked through our consciousness and used our own infant children as sitting ducks to plant these seeds of untruth. And we were powerless to stop them because we were unaware of it. Though our sins be scarlet, we're white as snow. The moment we begin to know the truth, we can do something. Jesus knew the truth, and he knew that love was the Redeemer. He knew that love was the antidote. He knew that love was the immunity against every virus. But not human love. Not your personal love. And you'll notice that everything in this Bible is to take you out of the sense of a personal love. I give you my love. We don't have the power to give love to anyone. All we can do is recognize that God love already exists as the substance of that being. And when we recognize it, we have recognized the invisible Christ. And that to us is the coming of the Christ. Now there's much more to say, but much more for you to do. Dwell on this subject today, and you will see that you have the answer to the origin of disease on earth. To the origin of that which God didn't put on earth. We can't put our finger on the moment it happened, or where in time and space, but we do have the Garden of Eden experience, which is, theologically, the birth of that problem. And that problem is multiplied by the begattings, the begattings, the begattings. All the begattings were intended to give you was the understanding that evil begets itself and perpetuates its own consciousness of evil right up to this minute. We are the end of that long line of begattings. That consciousness of evil simply begets itself into another consciousness of evil, which we call a baby. And until you put a stop to it, there won't be any stop to it. Now, the moment you have found this silence behind the senses, you've put a stop to it. The moment you have found that silence behind the senses, you have found the secret of the secret place of the Most High. No human mind is functioning in that silence, so there's no pattern of behavior. And that gives the Spirit its opportunity to surge through you and break the human thermostat, which has been set to react to evil. The more you do it, the more of these preconditioned seeds you dissolve. And that's what praying without ceasing is all about. Praying without ceasing is the way you uncondition your silence, your recognition of divine love as the substance of what we have called a material universe. Is the way you pray without ceasing. Now we're going to hear some more of this We're going to hear it from all kinds of fields of science, because it will be put into a little pamphlet probably, and we'll send it out, and we'll hear all about how science knew it all the time. But the important thing is for each of us to begin taking that whip and cleansing the temple of these preconditionings. Inertia will stand in your way, but you must use a force greater than that force which, when you were a defenseless embryo, set the dials of your mind. Thanks for being here on our beginning of our fifth year.
Thank you.